Scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 8, starting in verse 15. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and winter, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease."
Good morning. Good to see all of you. Couple things I'd like to add, if I may, with the gospel meeting coming up, our study of Matthew. When you look at those times, be aware that Gary does let us take a break or two during those periods. And it is somewhat interactive. So he treats it kind of like a Bible study at times. And so kind of know that a little bit about especially Friday and Saturday's format. Been an interesting week getting these flyers together. I've kind of enjoyed it. There was been some stress in that for me, and just wanted to get it right. And so on Monday, I was talking to the printer, and their machine broke. And I thought, okay, when are these going to be done? She said, "Oh, they'll be done by Wednesday." Well, I didn't get a call. I texted the salesperson I was working with Thursday morning, and she said, "Oh yeah, they're ready." So I went and got them and took them to the post office. Thursday afternoon, and I went in and got them all in there, 4,200 of them at that point. And she said, "I'm sorry, our server's down and we can't take these right now." And I'm a little anxious at that point. So I went in Friday and I said, "Okay." She said, "Fine." Good news out of that is that they gave us 500 extra. I sent her an email and said, "You know there's 500 extra." And she said, "It's okay. Just go ahead and use them. Do what you can." So I found another route and used 400 of them. Those right now are all 37209 addresses, zip codes. And, but the good news is, cause the lady told me, Friday, I said, "Can these go out by tomorrow?" She said, "Oh no," I said, "it'll be next Tuesday." And I'm sweating bullets now because this, you know, these are pretty time oriented here. They have to be a certain time. And, so the good news is we got one here at the church building, and Joel was telling me they got one too. So evidently they got on the stick and got them sent out. So we hope that'll do some good. Pray about that. Pray that we're just trying to some means of reaching folks that may not otherwise get a face-to-face ability to do. We can't solicit anymore. There's a sign over here. We can't just walk up down the street and hand these to folks like we like to. We did that at the apartments behind the building here last year, and we're told by one person it was okay, and before the day was over, the manager had been called and told us we needed to stop. So at least by this way, it goes in their mailbox, and hopefully somebody will look at that, and if we could just reach one person, it'd be worth the cost. So, but it doesn't replace face-to-face contact, you and I personally reaching out to invite others. So we got plenty of those. For you to give those in person, that gives you a little bit of an idea of what they look like. And glad to participate in that together. So what do you think it was like being on the ark for a year? I can pretty well assure you that, and yes, by the way, that's a picture of the ark in Kentucky, the replica that's been built up that way. What was it really like? You know, there was no send-off for the maiden voyage of the ship. When they entered the ark and God shut the door, I don't think there was any hoopla. In fact, I would suggest to you there was probably a whole lot of mocking going on outside. That if any crowd gathered, they gathered to say, "Are you all nuts?" And while Noah spent a long, long time building it. I don't think he did that with a whole lot of encouragement from anybody around him, but particularly the kind of people that are described, the very reason God was sending the flood in that day. And who were they leaving behind? Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives, 8 people got on that ark. Who'd they leave behind? Noah had brothers and sisters. So when he got on that ark, any brothers and sisters outside, any nephews, nieces, they're going to be on the outside of that ark. When they got into the ark and the door shut and it began to rain, and you know, just after just a few days, that's all it takes. We know that well. Just give us 2 days of about 16 inches within 24-hour period of time, and that gets people nervous. 3 or 4 days of constant raining, and people began to wonder, maybe this was true. And so they're beating on the side of that ark going, please let us in. When God had shut the door and it was too late. I don't know that Noah ever looked out the window during that year. Seems to be a picture that they took the cover off the ark. I know he was taking it off to let the raven out and the dove out. Was there ever a time he looked out after the rain had stopped and quite frankly saw the destruction, the bodies, while they were still floating in the water? Wasn't anything pleasant about that. And then it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. How many of us are complaining about how often it's rained in the last 2 weeks? We got some sunlight at least mixed in every now and then. No sunlight for 40 days. And thunder and lightning for 40 straight days. If you embarked on a week's cruise and it rained the entire time, you'd be asking for your money back. You know, you'd come home and go, that was the worst vacation I've ever had. And did that big old boat rock back and forth? Anybody get sick? And then there was a year of cleaning stalls. When did they get tired of that? I guess they cleaned the stalls, feed all of those animals, take care of those animals. And I just bet that smelled just lovely. And all during that time, Noah was taking care of the needs of his family, taking care of their physical needs. They had to eat, take care of themselves. They had emotional needs. He'd deal with any cabin fever, any stir-crazy sons and daughters-in-law. And did they have times of quietness where they could sit down and think about God and what He had done for them, what He was doing for them? They could see nothing but water for days. You all may like that. I prefer to stay on land, but I can't imagine being out sea and looking out and seeing nothing but water for days and days and days. Again, this wasn't a Mediterranean cruise ship. This wasn't a Carnival cruise ship. And then there's a question, what's the world going to be like when we get out? One big muddy mess. Well, it did dry out before they got off. What's it going to be like? All these people are going to be gone. It's just going to be us. We're going to walk out of this ark and be 8 people. Not going to be any living animals, any living people. Just us. How's that going to work, Lord? How's all that going to play out? And may I make this point right here that Noah didn't know, and it's okay not to know. Noah trusted God. Trusted God with the unknown. He obeyed God daily and left the future up to God. And may I say to us, that's what we have to do oftentimes in our walk with God. What's it going to be like in the future? We don't know. And what's it going to be like when we get to the door of heaven? What's heaven going to be like? I don't know. Will I know anybody there? I don't know. But it'll be okay. I smile when I say it'll be okay. That's ridiculous. You know, it'll be beyond okay. It'll be amazing. But I don't have to know. What the Lord requires of me is to trust Him and leave the unknown to Him. And so they stayed on the ark for almost a year, technically about a year and 10 days. Were there days when they thought it would never end? Did Did they know how long it was going to be once they got on the ark? I don't think they knew how long. And most of us would say, well, big deal, a year. Again, try to put yourself in the position of being on that boat for a year. This was not, again, a vacation. But it did end. And that's the good news. And so God brought the ark to the rest on the mountains of Ararat. And this was a time of a brand new beginning. This was a time of excitement, perhaps. We ought to think of it as such. We ought to think of Noah and his family coming off that ark and going, we're saved. We've been taken care of by our God. He has kept his promise. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, the scriptures tell us, Peter wrote, that God saved Noah and his family through water. And then begins to illustrate that that is a type of baptism. That for you and I, when we were baptized into Christ and our sins were washed away, it was a new beginning. God was giving us a chance to start all over. And in this sense, God was giving Noah and his family a chance to start all over again. That's a God we serve. A God who will bring us to rest on His mountain. A God will bring us to rest on the tops and give us the chance to start all over again. When they got off the ark, in the reading just a moment ago that Caleb read for us, one of the first things that Noah did was build an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings. He immediately worshiped God. And I would suggest to you that was a worship of thanksgiving. A worship of reverence, a worship of, you really did do that. I don't know if Noah ever had any doubts. I really don't think so, because I don't think you build an ark if you have any doubts. Maybe just every moment, now and then. But he stayed at it because he trusted God. He believed God. And he kept at it day after day. And finally, when they got in the ark, it started to rain. And then God did just exactly what he said he was going to do. Destroy all the living from the earth except you all in this ark. And so when he got off that ark, I don't know that anybody ever been any more thankful than him. And God smelled the aroma from the sacrifice. And apparently it soothed him. He smelled a soothing aroma. And apparently it affected the heart of God. Because it's at that point God said to Noah, I'm not going to do this again. God was grieved in his heart when the sinfulness of man had become so great, after he destroyed them, he said, not again, not like this. He put a rainbow in the sky. And again, read that carefully to be reminded that God put it there and said, when I look at this, maybe that's symbolic speech of giving God some human qualities. I don't know that he needs to be reminded of any of his promises, but it is a neat picture. I like to think about that when I see a rainbow, that God's looking at it too and remembering that I won't do that again. Noah worshiped the Lord. When you've worked and you've served and you've gone through the hard times, the hard period of your life, which we're going to think about for a little bit together. At the end of that, when you get off the ark, you will bow at the feet of Jesus and you will worship Him. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and He blessed his family. Are you on the boat? Well, somebody says, I'm not sure about that. I don't like the way you just described that. And I don't know how much Noah and his family had thought about what I just revealed. Maybe he didn't think about that a lot. And maybe I thought about it too much. But somebody could say, I don't like the way life looks like on that boat. What does life outside the boat look like to you? Life on the outside of that boat looks like people running to the highest point when that water was rising and before it got up way over the mountaintops, trying to find a place to survive. And then finally, you know, you can only tread water for so long. And on the outside of that ark looked like violence and materialism and fame and people trying to be known and people getting married just because people were attractive and all of that we've talked about before. But it was a worldly world. It was a world that didn't care one whit about the things of God. They thought only of themselves. It was selfishness. Is that what you want? You know, on the outside of this ark, it's all going to get worse someday when hell comes to be the place where all of the disobedient decide to live forever, have decided. And hell's far worse than any picture I can paint of what it was like outside that ark. On the outside of the ark, there was nothing but death and decay and destruction. On the outside of that ark was the result of violence and arrogance and evil thoughts and worldliness. And all of that kind of ungodliness ends in one place, eternal punishment. As we study in Ephesians today and didn't quite get to the end of that chapter, we think, well, I don't have a problem with those kinds of things, but all of us have sinned. All of us have been outside the ark. All of us have thought we can survive this world without God. And we need to find out now, before it's too late, that we cannot. But the good news is God is offering a chance for you to have life. He's offering you a chance to start all over again. A chance to be a new creature. To begin a life on the mountain of God, on Mount Zion. Paul wrote that anyone in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. God forgets the past, forgets the sins, washes them away in the blood of His Son, and we are forgiven and given a clean slate, and we get to be joyfully worshiping, serving God as His people. I'll tell you something, you got to stay on the boat. When life gets hard, you got to stay on the boat. Because again, remember, jumping outside should not be an option. But some people do it anyway, blindly, and jump off the boat. Keep working. Keep serving. Even when you don't want to. Keep looking ahead. Keep realizing that there is a time you're going to get off this boat. You may not know when it is, and I'm not sure that no one knew when it was going to be. And it turned out not to be as long as maybe they might have thought. Remain faithful. Keep growing in Christ. Let the hardships mold your character. Listen to the advice of my dad, "This too shall pass." Even some of the worst things that we can go through, and even though there's still some pain associated with all kinds of tragedies and difficulties and hardships we may have to go through, that it does get easier. But you got to stay on the boat. You got to keep praying. You got to keep studying. You got to keep thinking about God. You got to keep going to church and to worship and wanting to do that. You got to keep doing that. You got to keep every day getting up and praying to God and studying His Word and meditating on Him. You got to keep doing that. You got to keep making adjustments. You got to realize, well, I didn't have a very good day today, and you get up the next day and say, today's going to be better because I'm going to do better today. I spent yesterday griping through the whole day about having to clean stalls and take care of my family, and I realized that's not going to help me get off this ship. It's not going to help me endure this trip. So I got up the next day and said, okay, Lord, one more day to be on this boat as it goes back and forth and smells bad. You're going to take care of me. They were only on the boat for a year. We're only here for a little while, the song says. Again, our problems, while some pain never completely goes away, they do become manageable. And we may even be able to find ourselves serving God with joy. Because someday we know we're going to get off the boat. And someday we'll find ourselves in a whole new world, on whole new mountains. Because God will take care of us. Someday we're going to get off the boat into this whole new world. We're going to get off this ark called life under the sun, where there will be a lot of dark days. And God will be there waiting for us. I read the text. I can't read this in the text. I do know this, that God shut the door. And that makes sense, because I figure that's a pretty big door, and no one's family have gotten inside, and once they're inside, the door's laying on the outside, and so somebody needed to shut it. And I guess he couldn't talk to all those ungodly people to shutting it, so it said God shut the door. There's a part of me that wants to believe that God opened it. Opened it and laid it down. Time to come out. There's a day coming when we get to worship God in a way that we ought to be longing for now. If you're looking forward to going to heaven for any other reason than to bow at the feet of God and to serve Him and to love Him and obey Him for all eternity, then we don't have the highest reason we ought to have to go to heaven. There are other great things about going to heaven. There's not having to clean stalls anymore. And there's not being in a boat that's rocked back and forth sometimes. And so those are good things. No tears, no pain, no death. But the best thing on the getting off the ark is that God is waiting for us. And we will bow at His feet. We will bow at the feet of our Savior. And whatever we're going to be, and however He makes us and finishes off His work, we're going to worship Him in a way that you will not get tired. Marlon said, this won't be boring next week. That depends on who you are. Won't be tomorrow. I'm not sure about everybody else. That's hopefulness. Trying to encourage us. All of us get tired. All of us don't always worship every Sunday the way we ought to worship. We know that. We get done. And Bill was passing the emblems today on this side, and I had my head down. I looked up, and he's holding it. And I had to look up and say, sorry, I hadn't noticed. And I'd like to tell you that I was thinking about the Lord's Supper. I wasn't. I got to do better than that. And someday, I'm going to get a chance to worship God like I want to worship Him. No distractions. Nothing. Pure, holy, amazing. We get excited when we hear some of our singing sometimes. Thousands and thousands of angels. I don't know what it's going to look like. Yeah, I'd like some mountains and waterfalls, but I'll let God take care of that. He's going to be there. What we began when we were building and boarded the ark will be finished in a new world unlike anything we might have ever imagined. This we can know. God is always there in the future. John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 2, we don't know yet what it will be like. We don't know what we will be like. We don't know this new body we're going to have, but we know we will be changed. We know we'll be given a new body, 1 Corinthians 15. And what we know is that that ark is going to settle in the mountains of a home with God in heaven. And that God will bless us beyond anything we can think or ask. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I've got good news for you. You can too. Because you can come to the grace of God and know that you can be saved. Noah was a sinner. And he needed to be saved. He wasn't perfect. Proved that just a little while after being out of the ark. You can find grace. And you can serve God. And the good news is you got some people to do it together. Noah wasn't by himself. I really believe that his wife was supportive. His sons were supportive. His daughter-in-laws were supportive. They may have had days where, what are we doing here? Are we really going to do this? Yes. Noah encouraging them, yes, we're going to do this. And then he got on and then had to encourage them to get through that year. And encourage them when they got off to do the hard work of rebuilding their lives. But God is with them. And God will be with us. Are you in the boat? Let's sing an invitation song. If you're not in the boat, we want you to be. We want you to come in the ark. We want you to be in the Lord. We want you to be in His body. We want you to be in His church. We want you to be married to Him. We want you to be a priest in His temple. All of those are pictures that God has given us in Scripture that describe the relationship that you and I have with Him. But I always want you to recognize today, I know it won't always be easy. You're going to come into this ship and it is not always going to be easy. Doesn't promise you that there won't be trials and problems and difficulties, but it's okay. We'll work together, we'll worship together, we'll pray together, we'll encourage each other, we'll help each other, and someday we get to get off the boat. And it won't be that long compared to eternity. Come on, join with us as we stand and sing if we can help.